must admit that when I realized I was going to have to hammer that nail in that cross, I would be the one to knock it over. And I was afraid. So Pastor Andy asked me pretty much what topic I wanted to choose to speak to you guys about. And pretty much revenge was a no-brainer for me. Today, vengeance and avenging and revenge is a topic that is not is widely accepted throughout not just our culture but the world and also in the church, also in the Mennonite church, which is known for being a peace church, being nonviolent and non-resistant. So I honestly, when I was going to give this message to you, I realized, you know, it's not going to be easy. I'm going to say a bunch of things from God's word that wasn't easy for me and probably isn't going to be popular for a bunch of us here because it's something that we don't like to look at and sometimes we don't even want to be known for anymore. In the past, when I was in the military and people found out I was in the military and, you know, my dad was in the military. It was like, you know, thanks for your service. And it was kind of good. It was kind of great to be held up for being the one stepping out to, in my eyes, look as being a protector. But one of the things that Pastor Dick had shared with me and shared with us in the past was when he was at Ground Zero, he started listening to a lot of the things people were saying. And one of the things that was being said that really stuck with him was, we got to go get them. We got to go get them. We got to pay them back for what happened. Now, believe me, our flesh agrees. Okay? If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, or you're not feeding that Spirit, that flesh agrees. It wants to go get those people back. But here's the thing. I don't think you guys realize something. This is not justifying what happened on 9/11. Okay? This does, I will never justify violence. We do not realize, a lot of people do not realize that the people that were striking us were seeking what they wanted as revenge. And not just because they call us the devil. Back in the 80s, and one of the operations the CIA was doing was basically funding the a lot of Islamic, which would later become Islamic extremists, with money, training, guns, you name it. Because what was happening is in Afghanistan, particularly, the communists were wanting to take over. And Russia was funding them. So this is kind of around the Cold War with Reagan and stuff. And what happened was one of those people was a Saudi Arabian guy named Osama bin Laden. And so he took the funding and he took the training and he started leading people. And he said, you know what, we're going to start attacking the Russians. The Americans are our friends. Well, what happened was is the Russians started pulling out because Afghanistan is a very hard place. People have been trying to grab that place for hundreds of years because of its geographical position. And they failed. What happened was when the Russians realized they can't do it either, a lot of stuff started happening within civil war and all these different things were happening. And these people that consider us their friends saw us pull out and leave them to die. And we've done it in the past. Some of us don't realize that. We don't look further back in the history. And sometimes information isn't brought to the populace until later. So in a sense, they were doing vengeance against us. And then, but when it happens, we're like, what is going on? Why are they attacking us? And I can go further and further and further, tit for tat, back and forth, for the Marine Corps and Tripoli, all the way back. But here's the thing. I wanted to start thinking about revenge on the scale of national players, but I want to talk about revenge on the scale of people right here. An example of two kids in the back seat, you throw one car back there for the kids to play with. There's only one car to play with. Someone's going to get that car. Okay, my two boys were very polite. Okay, they played well together. I'm using two guys, maybe a guy and a girl, but I think the girl would rather have a doll, but that's just me, I'm sorry. I didn't have girls. God was smart. But the thing is, whoever gets that car is going to get hit. And if the guy can get the car back, that person's going to get hit. So on a smaller scale, that's revenge, you know? So we're going to talk about revenge, but we have to understand vengeance is God's. It's His, and there's a reason for it. Wrongs are going to be committed towards us. We hurt each other. I continually hear the story about how families are on the way to church, and once they step out that door of their car, all of a sudden the smiles come on, but only God knows what happened in that car on the way here. You know, we hurt one another. We hurt one another at work. And just because you're passive-aggressive doesn't mean you don't hurt somebody. Slander, gossip, talking bad about that person, thinking bad thoughts and stuff like that, you are hurting that person too. Believe me, if somebody knew the thoughts and things that I had done in the past, I'm sure they would be thinking about revenge. There's a guy at work, a chef, he has a very big anger problem. And really big dude. And in the past, when he has had his anger problem, he takes it out on a lot of us. And Carmen was laughing at me when I said this, and she's probably wondering why I'm even opening my mouth, but I do it all the time. He was having that anger issue again. And in the past, one time we were walking through a walk-in cooler, there was plenty of room, but he hockey-checked me. Okay, and I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. In the past, I'd be on him like a monkey, you know? But I was like, okay, I gotta let this one go. I gotta let this one go. And then I knew he was saying things about everybody behind their back, obviously to other people. And that upset me. And what is the craziest thing is this past week when I was walking around in the storeroom, I was talking to myself out loud. Okay, typically I talk to myself anyway, but I know to keep my mouth shut. And I'm like, man, if he does this, I'm going to do this. And if he says this, then I'm going to do that. And la, la, la. And I'm going to gut him like a fish. You know, and I was like, I didn't know there was somebody else in the storeroom. And when I walked around the corner, she was like, I'm leaving. I just got my cups. I wanted to go, you know, and I'm like, and I was like, what are you doing? Because people hurt us and we hurt other people, hate perpetuates. It keeps going. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But God's word is truth. He's telling us what he knows and what he has seen and what he wants us to know. The psalmist said, see them oppressing your people, O Lord, for afflicting those you love. They murder widows, immigrants, and orphans, for the Lord isn't looking, they say, and besides, he doesn't care. Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel that he's not looking at us. He's not looking at them. He doesn't, we think that if he's not looking, he doesn't care. So it puts this thought in our minds, well, maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's not watching. And maybe I have to do something about that. So there's a difference between the word revenge and vengeance. Until I did this study, I really didn't. They're so close together. They're like, you know, you got two sides of a coin, but there's still that part that separates it. Revenge is the action of inflicting hurt or harm on someone for a wrong suffered at their hands. Vengeance is punishment inflicted in retaliation for an injury or offense. Revenge is more personal, it's dirty, vindictive, and vile. Vengeance implies justice, honor, righteousness. See, when we look at the differences and we read the Word of God, sometimes you'll see them use the word revenge in a relation with God. But actually, the better word is vengeance. Romans 12:19 says, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Revenge is a dirty side of vengeance. See, if we do revenge, we cannot do it like God does. If you kind of thought of the things and the ways that you want to take revenge on somebody, I want you to go further. If you can even bring it up again, and I hope you can, but if you can, think of the way that you're thinking about taking revenge on that person. It's dirty. It's vile. Typically, it is not a way and a means that will honor God. But God cannot be dirty and vile. He's holy. He's righteous. So any act that he takes, any thought that he has, is clean. Amen. So what happens is, that's, you know, it was hard for me. I was like, why is the word saying give vengeance is God's? And I started thinking at the time, vengeance is a bad thing, isn't it? Not with God. How could God say, give it to me, vengeance is mine? Because God is the one that can do things properly, and we can't, no matter how much we want to. The only way we can do things properly is with God, with the Holy Spirit, with Christ, with the Word. We can't do it. Sometimes we get close, but close isn't enough. See, only God can properly judge and punish. The psalmist said, "Fools, is God deaf and blind? He who makes ears and eyes, he punishes the nations. Won't he also punish you? He knows everything. Doesn't he also know what you are doing?" I can't look in a person's soul. None of us can. We can't look at the person's heart. We can see a face. We can listen to words. We can see behaviors. Sometimes it's hard. Some people don't even want to be on a jurist because they realize that the information brought out to them, sometimes information's being held back. They cannot make a wise judgment to punish this person or to say what this person has done. And that's hard. It's very hard. God knows everything a person's doing. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what they were thinking when they did it, whatever their motives were at the time. He also knows that person's future. When I went to the different combat places that I went to, we had Just Cause, we had when I was in the military, Just Cause. We also had Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Some of my friends went to Somalia. You don't know what those people are thinking. You just want to go home. That I believe that everybody's kind of depending on that nature of yours to take over, not so much sometimes for revenge, but to just go ahead and do what you need to do to get everybody home. But you don't know what God has in store for that person. You don't know what's further happening on in that person's mind. So you, and then something happens, and then you seek revenge because one of your brothers got hurt. So what happens is when a person hurts someone, a cycle of revenge starts. My sister and I love her to death. I love her even more now that she's down in Texas. We get along a lot better. But when she was at the house, okay, she was the oldest, and she was the only girl. So if it benefited her to be the oldest, she was the oldest. And if it benefited her to be the only girl, then she was the girl. Meanwhile, I was the one that just got all the responsibility that she didn't want. And I did not like that either. And so what happened was we would have this huge cycle of anger and revenge. And she was a smart girl. I was not very smart compared to her. There were some people that were smarter than, but no, she was brilliant. And she knew my mind, my imagination, and she told me this. I knew I angered her because she told me this, but she told me this ghost story. And why I listened to her, I had no reason. I was very superstitious back then. But she said that if you saw a red scarf on your... Please, guys, this is just a story, okay? If you saw a red scarf on your doorknob, that means someone's coming to get you, all right? So needless to say, I went to the bathroom that night, not paying attention to what was going on, and when I came back, there was a red scarf on my doorknob. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. But, you know, sometimes revenge isn't just, you know, getting a hammer and knocking someone on the grape. You know, you can do it in different ways. So, like I said, she was very scared. But there's this, very scary. The Bible says, where do those fights and quarrels among you come from? They come from your selfish desires that are at war in your bodies, don't they? You want something but do not get it, so you commit murder. You covet something but cannot obtain it, so you quarrel and fight. All right? So that anger, that retaliation, that revenge is in your heart. You let it be there. You let it settle down. I had a situation where I was seeing a counselor, and I had very big anger issues. And he did this thing with me, and I'm not sure if Andy will ever do this or if he has done this, so everybody watch his face. But I was sitting in a chair that would not move. He was sitting in a chair that had wheels. And I had a paranoia that some people were out to get me at work, and I was always being aggressive towards them. And he put his hands out, and he says, I want you to put your hands against mine. And so I put my hands against his, and then he just kind of leaned in. And I went, and he went rolling across the room. And I said, why were you pushing me? And he says, I wasn't pushing you. I wasn't pushing you at all. My hand stayed in the same place. All I did was lean forward. That was you. You pushed me. And sometimes that's what the cycle's about too. Those people may not even know they hurt you or they harmed you. And yet you're going to push them. And then what? They're going to push you back. God doesn't want that for us. See, God wants the cycle of revenge to end. It says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. It is against our nature and our mind and the world to think that we can extinguish revenge, anger, and hate, and wars, and arguments with love. Revenge, anger, and hate, we look at that as a hammer, we look at that as a sword, and we look at love as a pillow. And I don't know about you, but sometimes if, you know, I've thought, if someone's coming at you, don't, they said never bring a gun to a knife fight. Well, the last thing you want to do is bring a pillow. And so it's against our nature. And even though that the word is telling us to do that, we want to fight that. The God of the universe that knows everything should know what He's talking about. But we don't put our trust in what He says. We don't even want to take, we're, you know, at some point it's like going up to a buffet and you see all this good stuff and then you see broccoli. But mind you, I love broccoli, okay? But some people don't. And you skip the broccoli. You start picking and choosing at the buffet the one things that you like. But God knows that the broccoli is what we really need too. So He says we are to love others. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. I don't know if some of you have had a history at working at Adriel or know about Adriel. The boys I worked with in the home sometimes were very volatile. They wanted to just lash out. They wanted to hurt because that's all they knew. And we were trained to hold them in a way that they weren't hurt, because you can hurt them too, holding them. But you would just hold them and speak love into them, and all of a sudden, over time, you could feel them relax. But having been a person that was violent, that doesn't happen when you're fighting. If someone's fighting you, you either got to get knocked out or be tired. You got to be beat down. But the thought of someone holding them and loving them and caring for them and getting them through that period was a kind of physical example for me to realize how much love can work over time. We were hurt many times. You're exhausted afterwards, emotionally, physically, mentally. But that person is back in a place of peace. You didn't feed the pain that they had. And sometimes people are carrying around pain. You hear this term, hurt people hurt people. But God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want that for them. We're not only supposed to love our families and our friends, we're supposed to love our enemies, and that is very, 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 very hard. Because you're, like it was said, families and friends are going to forgive you at some point. Hopefully, you have a bond. You're going to see them next year, la, la, la. But they might want the family name to continue. But an enemy has nothing to gain most of the time. An enemy just sees you as an enemy, and they want to wipe you out. Jesus said, but I say to you who are willing to hear, and notice that it says willing to hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. I like reading John Piper, and he had shared this. He says, there are two main reasons why Christians should love their enemies and do good to them. And I'm just going to share one with you. One is that reveals something of the way God is. God is merciful. He gives two scriptures here. Matthew 5, 4, 45. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So when Christians live this way, by God's power, we show something of what God is like. When you take revenge, you're showing what you are like. When you are loving, you are showing what God is like. And that is what we are called to do. As Christians, we're not just supposed to sign up for the insurance program and get a ticket to whatever heaven you think it's supposed to be like. Me personally, I'm an Alaska person. If you're an Hawaii person, you can think of it like Hawaii. But that's later. We are called to be God's people here. We're supposed to represent Him, not ourselves. Hate brings revenge, and love brings redemption. And I just wrote that down because of the songs that were picked and we're singing. I was like, why is that theme of redeeming and redeeming continually coming? I know it's the Holy Spirit, but it isn't anything that I put down here. It's because love redeems. God wants to redeem people. He is not quick in anger, and He doesn't want to wipe everybody off the face of the planet. He wants to give them time. But He also gives us the time to go out and give that message to people. So lastly, loving like Jesus means living like Jesus, and that's hard. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Kim's going to sing a song. Normally I don't do this, but Kim, the Spirit was moving again, and Kim shared a song with me and said, I really believe that the Spirit is kind of just, this song came to my mind. And for the longest time, too, I was like, I listened to the song, I was like, this is such a beautiful song, and it's so powerful. But God, how's that supposed to go with what I'm putting together? And what message you're giving me? And now, I can see how it works out. So we can't love people on our own like Jesus did. God's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word. God realizes it's hard for us to do this. Romans 12:18 says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." I may be further along or further back than some of you guys, and you guys can love someone like I can never love at that time. And God realizes that, and He meets you right where you're at. So it's okay, but keep on moving. See, Jesus was our example as how we are to love people. We must lay our lives down for not just our families and friends, but our enemies. Can you hand the sword over to God or the hammer? Can you lay down your life in love? God can help you. He can help you lay it down so that you can love people the way that we're supposed to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the words that you've given me to share with your people, Lord. Please, Lord, just put it in their hearts. It's not easy. Everyone around us in this world that we're in our flesh, screams for vengeance and revenge, and for us to put it in our own hands. But please help us hand it over to you where it rightly belongs, because you are wise, you are loving, caring, merciful, grateful. You don't want punishment on people. You want redemption for people. But help us be those people that bring those words to them, that hold them when they want to fight us, that feed them when they're hungry, that just take care of them. Let us be your people again, your truthful people in the ways that we're supposed to love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.